This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
You're listening to the Christian War Room, and today's third and final part of the talk by Pastor Blake Crown, The Armor of God. That is what the talk is all about. And it just picks up on all the new scriptures in the New Testament about the way we need to fight before Christ, so and before God, and in this world. So it's not really about having a lot of fun or having a good time and, you know, come to Christ and be happy kind of thing. But, you know, come to Christ, and God has got a really big job for you. And there's nobody else who can do your job other than yourself. And it is up to us how well we do and whether we are committed to our Lord and Master to follow him in this battle of pushing the gospel to the ends of the world. And the ends of the world just starts right there where we are. So it's our family, it's our friends, our work colleagues. It is the towns and cities we work, and sometimes, like in war, it may not be at the front, but it may be in supporting others to fight the war, to be a helper, to be an encourager, to be there, available, to preach the gospel or to enable those who do the preaching. So it's very, very important that we assume the role and that we find out what God really wants us to do. Now, that thing is called vocation. Vocation is the call God has placed upon your life. Very, very important to find out what the call is. The only person you can do this is you and nobody else. You can find out, and you should pray about it, and you should pray and ask God about it, what to do and how to prepare yourself for the job that is there ahead of you. Billy Crown is talking about these aspects. He's going through the New Testament, and he's looking at all the different scriptures where the term soldier, fight the good fight, you know, be armed, you know, go into the battle and so on. But all these scriptures are, and there are quite a few of them. It's surprising how many there are in the New Testament. I mean, it's not really a battle the way, you know, armies fight them here on earth. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle of words. It is a battle of strategies and of getting the gospel out there in the real world. And so it is very, very important to really take this to heart. If you have missed the previous two talks by Billy Crown, so that would have been yesterday and the day before yesterday, what you can do is you can go to www.christianwarroom.com and you can just go down the list and you can find all the talks there. The talk should be talk number 21. Let me see if I get it right. I think it's 22, 23, and 24. So talks 22, 23, and 24. They are the talks, and that's also the whole sermon together in one go, so you're not missing little chunks here and there. So that one is on there as well. And all you need to look for it is Pastor Billy Crown, the talk Armor of God, and that's in the audio section on the website. Okay, so stay tuned here at BPN Radio and enjoy the talk.
He says, nevertheless, I got this against you. You what? You tolerate. Isn't that the buzz phrase for today? Tolerate. We got to tolerate. You got to learn to tolerate. A true Christian tolerates. Excuse me? You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and by eating of food sacrificed to idols. That is Thyatira, okay? It's an even further progression of what happens to a church, or dare I say, even a Christian individually, when you make that first fatal step, when you stop loving Jesus, and you knew you were making that decision. You not only go to stage two and begin to compromise with the world, you not only let the world into your church, you let the world into your home, you let the world into your walk with Christ, you begin to go to stage three, you actually listen, you tolerate sin. What does that imply? What does that mean? This church was, listen, knew that they were wrong. There was a woman teacher. She called herself a prophetess. They knew she was wrong. They knew it was wrong. They knew that people were being led astray by this woman in the church. But listen, they not just knew it, they allowed it to continue. They tolerated it. You get it? It wasn't like, oh, how did this happen? Last time I go on vacation, I came. Everything was fine when I left. And they knew it. They knew what was going on. They refused to do anything about it. This is the tolerating church. And once you start tolerating sin in a church, you're going down. One guy puts it this way. He says, listen, if the church in Pergamum was married to the world, Thyatira is celebrating their anniversaries. This is the church that tolerates sin. Ephesus lost their first love. Pergamum compromised with the world. Thyatira was tolerant of sin. And the floodgate was open. They allowed the sin to come in and have its heyday. Why? Because they refused to do anything about it. There were people there committing in the church fornication. Didn't do nothing about it. He says, it sounds like the Corinthian church, doesn't it? Yeah. He says, oh, by the way, they went out of existence too. But here came this woman and she was seducing them, involving them in the idol worship of the day and sexual activity. And so here we had these people having a great time. They were getting involved in the filth and the rot of this world. They were committing adultery. Why? Because a believer is married to Christ and fooling around with idols and sexual immorality is a form of adultery. This church tolerated that. And then he gives an example. He says, listen, an elder told me about a church that he was in the past. Listen, a church. That two elders and their wives had exchanged their wives in the church. True story. But listen, he said the church knew it. And the church thought they shouldn't do anything about it because it might upset the congregation. That is Thyatira. A church that tolerates sin. Beloved, there are so many churches that do this. They just don't want to deal with sin. They don't want to confront anybody. And they say, well, you mean you discipline your church? Yeah, because the Bible says so. But see, we don't want to do that because then they might get upset or they might leave. That's Thyatira. That's tolerating sin. And they went out of existence. When a church refuses to confront people in love about sin, why? Because we are on a witch hunt. No, we're not. As God brings it up, what do? You elevate God's standard and you deal with it. Scripture says God disciplines those whom he hates. No, those whom he loves. And when you see a brother or sister in Christ that is harming the congregation, harming themselves with sinful behavior, sinful teaching, what do? You love them enough to speak up and say, turn from that. That will destroy your walk with Christ. That will bring destruction upon our church. No, I love you too much. I have to say something. And if they don't respond, what do? You do what the scripture says to do. You discipline in love. Always for the purpose of restoration. But that will not be tolerated. When a church refuses to speak up about sin, they know what's going on, but you refuse to do, you're almost to the next church. You're almost dead. And that's what we see with the next one, Sardis. Man, it's going downhill. Going downhill. Sardis, let's take a look at this. This is basically about as short and sweet you can get. Because by this time, if you're at that point where you're just full-blown tolerating sin, you don't care, and you refuse, you know you're almost dead. And it's just short and straight, sweet to the point from the Lord. Revelation 3:1, what's he say? I know your deeds. Oh, you got this reputation of being alive. Oh, yeah, you're having a place. You think you're cool. You think you're awesome. Look at your programs. Look at all this. You're dead. You're dead. Jesus is speaking here. Church, real Christians, real people, real congregation, just like you and I today, you're dead. Short, straight to the point from the Lord. What happens when you start stop loving Jesus? You start compromising with the world. You know sin's going on. You refuse to speak about it. You don't do anything about it. You tolerate it. You end up dead like this church. Oh, it'll happen. One guy, he says this, he says, you start off with the loss of love, then pretty soon you don't love the Lord anymore, and then you're willing to compromise, and you compromise a little bit, and pretty soon your compromise becomes a full-blown tolerance of sin. Sin floods into your walk with Christ, sin floods into your church, and you go right from Thyatira into Sardis, you become a dead church. Why? Because when sin completely takes over a church, the spiritual life is choked out and what you have left is a dead church. You're like Samson. Oh, you're moving around all right. You just don't have any strength. The life is gone. And so a church that tolerates sin becomes a degenerate church, a dead corpse. Listen, a church that's like a corpse. This is all Sardis was. It's just form. Listen to this. He said, it's like the rhyme of the ancient mariner. Corpses man the ship. Dead men pull the oars and dead men steer the vessel. All the thing was functioning. It's just everybody was dead. And this is what happens when a church, all they've got left, they just got a bunch of activities. They got their programs. Oh, you got your classes for this group and that group and all these kids and the adults and what. Everybody's busy. The fleets are rolling, but people are coming, but there's no life there. God's not there. Listen, Ichabod is written on the doors. The glory has departed. Sardis went out of existence because Sardis became a dead church. And we better not kid ourselves if we think that couldn't happen to us. I'll say it again. How many times do we read the scripture and we just kind of read it with the, oh, that's otherworldly. That's just on, yeah, it's God's word. But no, real Christians, real people, real churches, just like us today. And God tells us, don't do the same mistake. You better take it serious, unlike they did. What's the scripture say? God writes these things down for us for what? Our admonition, for our warning. We learn not only what to do, what is right. We learn you better not do the wrong, and here's why. He tells us in advance. If this is your church, if this is your walk with Christ, don't kid yourself. It's going to happen to you. So do what Paul says. You better seek daily God's power, His strength every single day, every single day. You better get that armor on, you better leave it on, and stand firm. That's not... You're going downhill. And it leads to the fifth one, the fifth and final one, the worst one of all, is Laodicea. Man, all just because you didn't do... God made provision, but you wouldn't do it. And you end up like this. Right? Here's what he says, Revelation chapter 3, 15 through 16. I know your deeds, Jesus says, you're neither hot nor cold. What? Good for nothing. I wish you were one or the other. Something. Just give me something, will you? Good for nothing. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. In essence, this church has got so bad. In essence, to God's word is not mine. They make God want to puke. Ugh! You sit there and you say with your mouth, oh, I'm a Christian. I know. I see your heart and you've degenerated all the way down. You gave up your love for me. You didn't just lose it. Then you started compromising with this world. You knew that sin was there. You refused to do anything about it. And all of this is, you're completely dead. You're just going through the motions. It's just an empty shell. You say that with your mouth. You make my mouth want to vomit. That's some strong words. This is the church that made God want to puke. You know why? I had an internship, the pastor. I never got this until years later. He said, my greatest fear, I remember him saying this all the time, my greatest fear is that we would get to the point where we are playing church instead of being the church. This is Laodicea. And one guy said this. He said, Laodicea is the apostate church. This church is no church at all, basically. They were neither cold nor hot. Listen to their attitudes. They weren't interested. Yeah, so what? They weren't even concerned. They were indifferent to the gospel. Yeah, let somebody else do it. No pretense at all. They were just unmoved, uninterested. This is plain Christianity. It's like liberalism today. Under the guise of Christianity, you're not even real Christians. You deny the Bible. You deny the deity of Christ. You deny all the great tenets of the Christian faith. And yet you say you're a Christian church. You're phony. And a phony church is no church at all. Oh, you started out good. Remember those days when you first got saved? You started out like Ephesus, but then the descent comes and pretty soon you got nothing left. He said, listen, I've been to auditoriums around this country that seat 4,000 people and used to seat 4,000 people. But now on Sunday mornings, there's 150 liberals huddled in the front. This happens to thousands and thousands of churches around the world. They go out of existence. They go apostate just like Laodicea. Why? Because of that first fatal mistake that they thought was no big deal. You stopped loving Jesus. Wow. No wonder the Bible says we're in a war. You're going to fight, man. You're going to struggle. No wonder Paul says, listen, Ephesus, take this serious. Not all of our battles are against flesh and blood. They're coming after you. But be strong in the Lord every single day. Take this serious. Put on the armor of God. And you'll be able to stand. None of these churches, listen, stood. Not one. Sardis is gone too. This is what's going to happen. I could say with full confidence because it's all Scripture. If Christian or Christian church, you wake up one day and you make that deliberate choice, I'm just not going to be as passionate like I used to. I'm not going to read my Bible like I used to. I'm not going to witness like I used to. I'm not going to pray. I mean, look at everybody else. They're not doing it. You begin to rationalize. That's the first fatal step. And then you go, how far can you push that? And maybe you're starting to run into another category. Did you know when the Bible talks about apostates, apostates are people who profess Christ, but they didn't belong to Christ. And so maybe the reason why you didn't stand in the end is because you never really belonged to Him. Maybe the reason why you never put on that armor of God and you took it no serious and you were just religious, but no relationship, is because you never had a relationship. One guy puts it this way. He says, listen, I was in Scotland. This is from John MacArthur. He said, I was in Scotland preaching, and a man came up to me and introduced his name. He says, my name is Reverend Cecil Mills, and I'm a minister, and I've been here for many years. And he comes up to John MacArthur. He says, hey, is your father named Jack, Jack MacArthur? And John said, yeah. He said, your father came to Ireland 30 years ago, and he came with two other men, and they held a revival here in Ireland and Belfast and around Ireland. He said, at that meeting, I went to hear your father, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I dedicated my life to ministry that day. And he said, I'm a pastor now because of the Lord using your father. And I just wondered if that was your father. And would you please do a favor for me when you see him next? Would you tell him that? He said, yeah, I will. He said, well, I got another question. He says, where's your father now? And John said, oh, he's still pastoring, ministering, teaching the word like he always has. And he said, well, is he still faithful to the word? And John said, yeah, he's still faithful to the word, still carrying on, still standing. And the guy says, oh, okay, well, what about the other two guys? What happened to the other guy? One guy's name is Chuck. What happened to Chuck? And John said, oh, he became an apostate. He denied the faith. He forsook the truth. He denied the word of God. He goes, oh, that's so sad. He has so much potential. But what about the second guy? And John says, oh, he died, an alcoholic. The guy goes, no. And he says, listen, I don't relish telling you that, but I want you to know something. Three men professing to know Christ, listen, three men went to Ireland 30 years ago and they did it all. And lots of people have done it all. But when the battle is over, when the dust clears, they're not all standing. And he said, I got this a letter this week from this lady. She says, hey, Pastor MacArthur, I've been in your church for several years and I've been very involved in your church, but I just want to let you know I'm leaving. Why? Because I decided to marry a non-Christian. She's not standing anymore. Listen, there's lots of people who did it all. They pastored a church, they taught a class, they had a Bible study, they led people to Christ. But when the battle got hot, when the smoke cleared, they were down. Why? Because they didn't have the armor on. And they didn't take it serious. I got to wrap this up, but I've seen this happen already in my time and being a pastor over 20-some years now. I'll just real quickly share this with you. One of my first friends in the Lord, listen. One of my first friends in the Lord, when I first got saved, he took me under his wing. He began to disciple me. He's the one that helped me get the first internship I got involved in when I started going to Bible college right after getting saved. He's gone. He's denied the Protestant faith now. And he decided to become a Catholic and is defending Roman Catholicism. Breaks my heart. I have another person, I kid you not. As you know my testimony, one of the few people who used to witness to me when I was involved in the occult and New Age, that same person is now getting involved in New Age. Past interns that I have invested in, past congregants that I have pastored over the years, they're no longer following Christ. They're in this world. They're indifferent. They're dead. Why? Because they've lost their salvation? Mm-mm. You can't. The war showed their true colors. They were apostate. Because the Bible says you can't lose your salvation. If they leave, they were never saved in the first place. Even though they pastored a church, even though they went to Bible college, even though they were behind the pulpit, even though they taught a Sunday school class, they didn't stand, they didn't survive because they were apostate. 1 John 2:9, they went out from us because they didn't really what? belong to us. Well, how do you know? What's the acid test? You're in a war every single day. Well, guess what? Not everybody's left standing. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but they're going so that none of them belong to us. They didn't take it serious. When the heat was on, they were gone. When push came to shove, you live Christ's way or you compromise with the world. They chose the world. They didn't lose their salvation. They never had it in the first place. And then I really wonder if this is why the American church, as we close, is so powerless and ineffective today. Could it be because we're in various stages of decay, like the five churches? Some worse than others, but they're all in this process of decay. And now we've accepted, listen, a plastic Christianity as real Christianity when it's not. How do you know? It's when people start saying stuff like this. Tell me the church isn't flooded with these kind of people. Let's take a look at this guy.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. And when I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had fun on the weekends. I had a girlfriend, a couple, but I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur, but I did make it to church out of obedience. And after school, I married a great girl, and she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, three kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I worry about my future. I mean, my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
How many people professing Christ that you know of have those kind of conversations? Only God knows the heart. But my thing is, why would you go that far and flirt with it that much? Is that the goal in the Christian life? See how close I can get to the world and somehow come out still being a Christian? Or is it, I love Him, and I'm not going to lose my first love, and you're not going to get that first crack in my walk with Christ. I'm thankful, I'm grateful that He has saved me from eternal damnation and hell. And I know I deserve to go there. And every single day, I had the privilege of growing up strong in Him, becoming a warrior for Him. I'm clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to see how close I can get to Him and to His cross and away from the stinking world. And while I'm here, He's going to use me, prayerfully so, to make a difference in this world. As I hold on, I reach out to the world, but I hold on to the cross. And if you let your hand go off the cross, you better be careful. Maybe it's a sign, just like Ephesus. I know good doctrine. I know what Orthodox Christianity is. I know right from wrong. My dad's a deacon in the church. My grandma took me to church. Doesn't mean you never got saved. If you don't love Jesus, something's wrong. And if you don't turn around right now, if you don't take this serious, if you don't do what Paul says, get the armor on now and leave it on. And every single day, seek the power of God. Because one day your war is going to be over. But the question is, will you be standing? Because when you got that armor on, what's he say? And after having done everything, I'm still standing for Christ. What did Paul say? I fought that good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the race. Why? I'll guarantee you, Paul had his armor on. And he says, you better do the same thing, church, Christian. And don't kid yourself. 5 out of 7 don't don't make it. That's how serious it is. Amen? Let's pray.
Hi there, and that was Billy Crone from Sunrise Church in Las Vegas, a very outstanding preacher. I hope you enjoyed this talk, and this was the final talk in this series on the War Room here on VPN Radio. You can pick up the talks at www.christianwarroom.com. Okay, let me repeat this, www.christianwarroom.com. And you can pick up the talks and listen to them again on the website, so they're all going to be there. Very sobering talk, indeed. And I have to confirm, I've been a Christian for a long, long time. Let's think back, it's about 34 years, and it's true. In my time, I've seen a lot of people, you know, who came and they were all fire and flame for God, and they were really excited, and they were faithful, and they did it, but sort of years down the line, you never saw anything of them again. And I'm not saying that, you know, they've fallen away or they've just become indifferent, and they've fallen maybe by the wayside. It is a very, very sombering talk, thought, you know. But you see, the biggest thing is God has given us one life, and He has given us one opportunity to work for Him. And after this, it's going to be eternity. And we need to know where we stand right now to secure our eternity. So if we are not right with God, we need to, you know, come back to God, repent, and modify our actions, modify our ways, and really surrender to Him with all of ourselves and all of our hearts, and let Him be boss in our lives. Let Him be Lord. Let Him be God in our lives. But God is just longing for us to return and to go back to Him and to do the things He wants us to do. Not the things we want to do, but the things He wants us to do. And let me assure you that the most happiness you will find in your life is to do exactly the thing God wants you to do. And not to follow the delusions of our, you know, the deceitfulness of our own hearts. Jeremiah 17 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. And very often we are just guided by our own heart, leading us away from God and leading us on a path that is not the way of God for our lives. So we need to rectify this. If we are missing it, or if we are on a way where we do not find the peace of God, and where we can see that things are just not going the way God wants us to go. So it's very, very important. And let it be a sombering thought of what Billy Crone said about that 5 out of 7, they're not making it. They are falling by the wayside. And I'm not sure whether he's just going to to the parable, or whether he's looking at some statistical data. But it's indeed a very sombering thought. Okay. I apologize. I'm still at the back end of a flu here. Lord, please help us to walk on the straight and narrow with you, and to turn from our ways and to turn towards you, and to turn towards the things you want us to do in these days. We pray that you will, Lord, that you will change our hearts, and that you will turn our hearts to you, and that we will not move either to the right or to the left from the way you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.